Luke chapter number 4 this evening, Luke chapter 4, and we've got about 2,000 years of Bible to cover in the next 2.5 hours, so just settle in and let me preface this. Your pastor's teaching through Daniel, and when he gets the parts of Daniel we're going to read tonight, if he goes a completely different direction, we're both right. It's a big book. There's lots of room for interpretation. I've been so afraid to preach this message. I rarely, really preach it because I don't say this for any other reason than to just preface, I'm a little bit cautious about it because I've never heard anybody else preach what I'm going to preach out of the book of Daniel. And I'm not saying I'm right and everybody else wrong. God showed me something he never showed anybody else in the history of the world. He just hadn't showed me anybody else that he showed this to. So they're probably out there. I just don't know who they are. They're probably out of church now or something. I don't know. Who knows? But let's start in Luke chapter number 4. And Jesus on the mountain being tempted by the devil. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain." Don't you think that's an unusual thing for Jesus to let the devil lead him anywhere? Let the devil take him anywhere, but he did. "Showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world." Not just North Korea or Iran or Cuba. All of them. All the kings of the world in a moment of time. Young people, it don't take the devil to show you everything he's got. In a moment of time. "And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them." Now watch. "For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." That's quite a bold statement to make, don't you think? The devil said, all the kingdoms of the world are now under my control. The governing power of the kingdoms of the world rest with me. And the devil said to Jesus, if you want power over these kingdoms, you'll have to get it from me. That's what he said. Now, if the devil, for once in his history, is telling the truth, he said, they were delivered unto me. He didn't say I took them by force. He didn't say I stole them. He didn't say that I got an army together and won a battle. He said somebody turned them over to me. That happened in the garden. God put that man on this earth, made in the image of God, and Hebrews chapter 2 said he put all things under his feet and gave Adam dominion over this planetary creation. And the devil says, Adam handed over to me. Now, if that's not true, let's read the rebuke. If it is true, let's read the response. Look at verse 8. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus Christ did not dispute the claims the devil just made. What he said is, I acknowledge your dominion and control over the kingdoms of the world, and I intend to take it from you, but not on these terms. I am not going to take control of this earth by bowing down to the devil. Nebuchadnezzar tried that, didn't work. Medes and the Persians tried that, didn't work. Roman emperors tried that, hadn't worked. Dictators try that, presidents try that, rich people try that. Everybody that bows down to the devil to get the glory and the power and the honor and the praise and the dominion, they end up dead for it. Jesus said, I'm not going your route. I'm not going your route. So, what happens? Jesus Christ, as you know, he goes to Calvary. He lays down his life. He dies. He's buried. 3 days and three nights later, he rises from the dead. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus Christ is the resurrected Savior of the world. He is the resurrected Son of God. He is about to ascend to the right hand of the Father, go up by his own power, sit down on his throne in heaven. Hallelujah. And here's what he says before he leaves. Matthew 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. Well, now that's interesting. Because Satan says, I got the power, and Jesus rises from the dead, and he said, I've got the power. And if I just pull a verse out of context here, a verse out of context there, I could get in a charismatic church and we could spend some money and put up a billboard that says, Jesus is Lord over Birmingham. Jesus is Lord over Nashville. Jesus rules. Well, if Jesus Christ is Lord over any place in America, I say this reverently, he's doing a very poor job of it, or at least not the job I expected him to do. If Jesus is ruling right now, this is not the kingdom I anticipated. He's called a king of peace. I don't see that out there. He's called a king of righteousness. I don't see that out there. When he rules and reigns, the Bible says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. I don't see that out there. So I have a curious situation. I have Satan, who claims to have dominion and power and control of the governments of this earth, and I have the resurrected Christ, who says all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let's keep reading. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Ephesians 2. We're getting somewhere, and when we get there, it'll be a blessing. It's just going to be a little bumpy ride on the way. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 says, now, do you believe tonight Christ died and was buried and rose again? You believe that? Amen. You believe tonight he's alive forevermore, has keys of hell and death? You believe that? I believe that. Amen. So the Holy Spirit writes to save people at Corinth, and in so doing puts it in the Bible and writes to all of us and says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Would you not say that's a fact to this day? There are lost people out there who cannot see the truth of the gospel. That's a fact. In whom the God, lowercase g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There are people out there who are lost, and the God of this world keeps them lost. They are blind, and the God of this world keeps them blinded. You couldn't possibly say the God of this world is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You couldn't possibly say the God of this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in this age of the church, of grace, of the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of one body, Jesus Christ is not the God of this world. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is not the God of this world. This world continues to be under the power and influence and deception and destruction of the devil, though Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, and let's take a look at radio and then television and then satellite and internet and all the rest of it. And you can interpret this or apply this any way you want to, but I want to get the truth of it. Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What's controlling the world, according to Ephesians, written to Christians in the New Testament church, is not the Holy Spirit, but an unholy spirit. It's not the influence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the influence and power of the devil. The devil is not only called the god of this world, but in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, this world is set on a course. See that? The world is going a certain direction with regards to war and peace. A certain direction with regards to marriage or adultery. And a certain direction with regards to modesty or immodesty. A certain direction with regard to praising the Lord or cursing His name. You understand? This entire world has a course set for it that it's following. But that course is not set by someone who is identified as being an earthly power, but a power in the air, in higher places above the earth. You see that? There's a course of the world, but the course of the world is dictated and set by the prince of the power of the air. There's someone or something up there that is causing things down here to go very, very, very wrong. Now, it can't be somebody way up there, because that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's someone who is beneath, below the Lord Jesus Christ, but above and superior to mankind. Best I can tell from reading my Bible, that's the devil. But it's more than the devil. Look in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I am a victorious Christian, at least in my thinking. I am an overcoming Christian, at least in my heart. I am not one of these King James Bible-believing people that thinks I have to be unhappy at home and unhappy in church and unhappy in the world. And if I'm not just condemning everything that moves, I'm not really true to the Bible and true to God. I am saved. I've got eternal life. I've got the Holy Spirit living inside me. I've got a godly wife. I've got healthy children. I've got a wonderful church. I've got a home in heaven. Spare me from all this anger and bitterness and complaining and misery.
I'm saved and you ought to be saved too, because if not, you're going to go to hell.
Well, I mean, that is factual. But it could be said in such a way as to give someone the idea that the alternative is a good thing, not a miserable thing. I was under conviction, serious, genuine, real conviction, for 2 years before I got saved. I would pray every night and ask God to not kill me while I was asleep, because I didn't want to wake up in hell. But I didn't want to get saved because I was having a great time in the world, and everyone I knew that went to church hated it. They were miserable. They never said, oh, I got something better than what you got. They always said, I'm not allowed to do that. Man, don't sign me up for that, whatever it is. I told you, pastor, he's preaching through Daniel. I read my Bible every night for 6 months, started in Genesis, unsaved. I told God, I said, I'll read it through one time before I die. Man, I just got under deeper and deeper and deeper conviction. And the last night before I got saved, I read about God turning Nebuchadnezzar into an ox, crawling around the backyard eating grass. Yeah. And all night, all I could think about is, what's he going to do to me?
Yeah.
God's not somebody to be toyed with. So I'm probably the only person you'll ever meet got saved on Daniel 4. But that closed the deal for me. Anyway, so why'd I say all that? Because if Jesus Christ rules and reigns and everything's under God's, you know, everything's going the way God wants and all the rest of that, why do I need whole armor? I'm being told in the close of the book of Ephesians to prepare for the fight of my life. And I'm saved and on my way to heaven and all the rest of that. Verse 11 says, the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, isn't that interesting? Here's what the Lord said. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, your fight's not going to be with your next door neighbor. It's going to be with the spiritual power that influences your next door neighbor against the gospel. I can't fight that. I can't even see it. Our enemy is not Islam. We're not going to go to get an army together and go on a crusade. Our enemy is not the Roman Catholic Church. We're not going to get a Protestant army together and start a 50 years war in Europe. Our enemy is some spiritual power that's controlling those powers and making them do what they do on a worldwide global scale. And the Lord said, you can't fight them. Just put on your armor and stand there.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God and stand. And having done all to stand, that be able to stand.
Amen.
So here's what I do. I don't go out and harm sodomites.
Right.
I stand for God. I don't go out and harm Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or vegans or whatever other religion you're dealing with in your town. I stand for the Word of God. I can't fight physically because the enemy's not physical. I can't fight with my fist or with a sword of metal because I'd be stabbing and harming human beings that Jesus Christ wanted to save.
Bless God, I killed them Muslims.
Well, now they're in hell. You happy? I am not preaching tonight about the United States military or our government. I'm talking about the Christian life. And God told us to stand against the spiritual entities that are destroying our neighbors and our world. And you can't fight them. You can only stand against them because you can't even see them. In fact, he said, the big shots aren't even down here. They're up there. They're not in the low places. They're in the high places. They're not underground. They're not even on ground. They're up there. That's what he said. Now, before I read much more of this or read too many more verses, when I was a young Christian, I read everything I'd get my hands on. I wish I could still do it. I got too much to do now. I don't have the attention span now. But I could go through a book. I could go through a book in an hour and remember what I read. I'm not bragging. God made everybody different. I can't fix a doorknob. But I could tell you what page Larkin had such a chart on and what the chart looked like. Those great days. But I read all this stuff about the occult and devils and possession and witchcraft and all that. I hadn't read a book about any of that stuff in 25 years, and I'm never going to read another one. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know he's doing it. I want to know what Jesus is doing. I want to know what the Holy Spirit's doing. I want to know what the church is doing. I don't want to know what the devil's doing. These guys, every now and then, somebody come around our church, and they'll say, well, you know, I believe the Lord just gave me this power to cast out devils. I said, well, okay, before you pull the trigger on that, where are you going to send them? When you throw the devil out of, I don't want to point it, you throw the devil out of this guy, and next thing you know, he's in that guy. And you throw the devil out of her, next, look, if there ain't a bunch of pigs in a lake around, just keep that pistol in the holster, man. Last thing we need, but at least when they're in people, we know where they are. You start casting them out of people, now we can't pin them down so quick. Anyway. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2. So Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. But there's a whole lot of devilment going on around here. A whole lot of wickedness going on in this old world. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. He said, I'm talking about something I'm going to do in the future. We're living the world right now, but one day we're going to come to the end of the world. And when that world ends, there'll be a new world. And he said, let me talk to you about that world. One in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, did not God do that? He made man. He didn't put him up there in the heavens with the angels. He put him down here on the earth, lower than the angels. But then he put all things in subjection under him. Verse 9, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Something went wrong. God gave man dominion. But when we look now, we don't see man having dominion. Not yet. Everybody see that? See what he said? Okay, verse 9. But we see Jesus. So what do we do right now? We don't look for man to spiritually dominate the world. We don't even look for Christ to sit on a throne at Jerusalem and physically dominate the world. But we look past man, we look past angels, and we see Jesus. Okay? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That's not a future crowning. That's the crowning to die for our sins. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the cap of their salvation perfect through suffering. So what do we see? Jesus Christ has died on the cross to pay for all our sins. Hallelujah. He has risen from the dead, and he said, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Amen. Correct? And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That's what he said. But when the Holy Spirit writes the book of Hebrews for us to read, he says, but we don't yet see all things put under his feet. What's the plan? What's the purpose? What's the prophecy? He's going to come a first time and die on a cross. Check. He did that. What's the prophecy? What's the purpose? He's going to come a second time and rule and reign over the kingdoms of the world. Don't check it off, because we don't see it yet. So we are living in a day and time when Jesus Christ has available to him as a gift from his Father, because of his suffering at the cross and because of his resurrection, I am going to bestow upon my Son all the power, all the dominion, all the honor, all the glory that Adam forfeited. But we don't see it yet. What we see right now is Satan's the god of this world, and the prince of the power of the air is setting the course for this world to follow, and we wrestle not against physical enemies that we can see, but spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's going on today with Christ risen from the dead. Now, come to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter number 10. I always hesitate to say this because it sounds like I'm criticizing the Lord and criticizing the Bible, and I'm not. I'm just speaking of my own lack of understanding, which will greatly improve after the rapture. And I'm speaking of my own desires that, strangely, God didn't consult me when he wrote the Bible. But wouldn't you trade 50 names in 1 Chronicles for another chapter on what happened at creation? When your pastor preaches about the watchers in Daniel, wouldn't you give up and so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so for just a little explanation of who those guys are? But you know what's a blessing? The Lord cares more about our names than he does how they build rockets down there in Huntsville. This whole book's full of names you don't care anything about, but God cares about them. Anyway, I still wish there's more verses about some of this stuff. Daniel 10, watch this. So Daniel is in a bad way, and he's praying. And I can only give you the scratch the surface on this. Brother Brent, when he gets Daniel 10, he's going to unlock all the mysteries for all time. Daniel 10, verse number 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. It's always that way when a UFO comes over. One guy sees it. Did you see that? No, nobody else saw it. Nobody believes him. But a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. My comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I retained no strength. What he saw just took the life and energy right out of him. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. That's weird, man. Man, that's really, really strange. Daniel gets on his knees and prays and said, God, I need some understanding of what you just showed me. And God dispatches a mighty angel from heaven to bring Daniel an answer to prayer. And it takes that angel 21 days to get to earth with the answer to Daniel's prayer, because he's fighting against principalities and powers between the earth and the heaven that are somehow connected with and associated with the kingdoms and the governments of this world. I want 3 chapters on that. But if you had 3 chapters on that, people spend all their time there and not in Mark and Luke and Ephesians. But you see what you just read? There's something going on up there. You can't fight it. If a mighty angel of God took 21 days to get to earth with an answer to prayer, what are you going to do? These charismatics, bless their heart. I could have been one when I first got saved. I loved Jesus and didn't know a lot about the Bible. And they'd sing all these songs, you know, about write a message to the devil on the bottom of your shoe, and I stand and I rebuke the old serpent and all that. Well, you talk like that for about 4 or 5 months. And then that new and that high of being saved wears off, and the old devil comes back around and tries to get his hooks back in you and drag you back out there in that world, and you find out you ain't as tough as you think you are. Right. Look in verse number 20, same chapter. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Here's what he said. Now, let me give this answer to your prayer real quick, because I got to get up there and fight with these kings. Because as soon as I whip Persia, I'm going to have to fight Greece.
Yeah, right.
And he's not on earth.
Right.
He's not fighting Persians. He's not fighting Greek Grecians. He's up there fighting whoever up there is influencing what's going on down here. Isn't that a crazy thing? I'll just say this. Your country, 2.5 years ago, was that far from being done. And a man that none of us would want in our living rooms for any length of time said publicly and privately, I will do everything in my power to protect and preserve the nation of Israel. And something happened that got a man that had no chance of being president in the White House. Are you telling me that was just a bunch of good old boys deciding to go to the polls? Or did God say, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee? And somebody said, God, if you give me a chance, I'll bless them. I'm telling you, when you read the news, you're not getting the news. When you read about world events, you're not reading about world events, because what's going on down here is influenced by things going on up there that we really know nothing about, except once or twice God lets us peek through the blinds and look out in the yard, and he shuts it real quick. And no, I didn't really see well. More. No, that's all. That's all, because you'll start writing novels about it and crazy books. And so here's what we got. Jesus Christ up there on a throne. Satan's running things down here. Christ dies, buries, rises again. Says, all power in heaven and earth given unto me. And he leaves, and Satan's still running things. He's still the god of this world. He's still the prince of the power of the air. And there's something going on between here and heaven that's influencing what's going on down here. And it's not of God, because the course of this world is something you got to get saved out of. All right. Ready to do some reading? We're getting close to the message here. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter number 1. Show you where Von Daniken fell in the deep water here. How many of you remember him? Chariots of the Gods and all that stuff. He was pretty close. He just said chariots of the gods, and it wasn't gods, it was one God. Ezekiel 1, I'm getting old. People don't even remember books that everybody read when I was young. Anyway, Ezekiel 1, verse 1, that came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. See that? He's going to see God. That's pretty cool. And since he wrote it down, you're going to get to see him too. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Joram's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, in the son of Buzi, if any of you are expecting, there's a good name, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. That's where God's throne is, Psalm 48. A great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. That don't look like any man I ever saw. So in bodily shape and structure, and you know, the heads here and the arms here and all, they look like a man, but they got four faces and four wings. Their feet were straight feet, as the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another. Two covered their bodies, and they went every one straight forward. Where the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As the likeness, for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, and his four faces, the appearance of the wheels, and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of the wheel. And they went, and they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went, and their rings were so high they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. So here's what I got. I got a wheel within a wheel, and I got eyes all around, and it flashes lights, and it shoots out this tremendous beam of light like lightning, and it doesn't turn gradually. It just goes like this. It's everything you've ever read about UFO sightings. It's just not a UFO. It's an IFO. It's an identified flying object. Because we're going to identify it here in just a minute. Now, you got to admit, that's crazy stuff, man. But he said, Ezekiel saw God. Visions of God. How can that be? Well, take a look in verse number 21. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of living creature was in the wheels, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of terrible crystals stretched forth over their heads above. Under the firmament were their wings straight, one toward the other. Every one had two which covered one side. Every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. The voice of speech is the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, and when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in cloud the day of the rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice, one that spake. Here's what he said. All this light and flashing and wheel within a wheel. That's moving. And then it stood still. And when it stood still, they folded up their wings. And I saw what their wings were covering and hiding. Firmament, a throne, and a rainbow over the throne. And one that had the likeness of a man on the throne. And when he spoke, it was the voice of the Almighty. You know what Ezekiel saw? God's traveling throne. Yeah. Now, I'm just taking what I read like it's written. God's throne, he says, fellas, those creatures come, and they get that firmament, and they get that throne, and they get that rainbow, and God's on that throne, and down he comes. If you read chapter 10, he came down to get the Ark of the Covenant, getting out of Jerusalem, before Jerusalem fell. He wasn't going to let the Ark of the Covenant fall into the hands of the Babylonians there. But anyway, so you don't have to agree with that. Did you see what we just read? You see that there about that? Okay, now let's go to Daniel chapter 7. You ready for the message? All right, Daniel chapter 7. Yeah, look what time it is. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. We would say that Daniel 7 is future prophecy. We believe that to be so. Here's what he said. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. That wasn't last year. That wasn't 100 years ago. That wasn't at the resurrection. There's still plenty of thrones in this old world. Daniel said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. He's looking to that day, that time. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. You know what Daniel's looking at in Daniel chapter 7? He's looking at God's traveling throne, the same as Ezekiel looked at it in Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. Verse number 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now stop, please. Just let's review what Pastor Joel taught you, what Pastor Brent is teaching and will continue to teach you. There's a judgment seat of Christ. Where is that? That's believers up there in the third heaven. There's a judgment of nations. Where is that? It's on this earth after the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's a white throne judgment. Where is that? It's just people, sinners before God's throne. Heaven's gone, earth's gone. This is none of those judgments. The throne of God has come down out of the third heaven, so it's not the judgment seat of Christ. He is not on the earth, so it's not the judgment of nations. There's still a heaven and the earth, so it's not the white throne judgment. This is a judgment that's not in any of my books. Larkin doesn't have a chart for this one. But there's God on his throne, and there's a judgment. He's sitting there to execute judgment. See that? Take a look. Verse number 11. I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain. So we're to end of the tribulation. And his body destroyed and given the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So God's on his throne. That throne comes down. He says it's time for judgment. And the first thing he does is throw the beast in the fire. He's not. Somebody up there where God is running that beast. Take a look. And I saw in the night visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man. Who would that be? That'd be Jesus Christ. Came with the clouds of heaven. Isn't that how he's coming back to this earth? Cloud received him out of his sight on the Mount of Olives, and the angel said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He went up in a cloud, he come back in a cloud. Now watch. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Jesus Christ comes down out of heaven to the Father's throne that has come down out of heaven into those high places. Right? That's what we read, right? Yeah. So here's the Ancient of Days on his throne. And here comes the Son of Man on, and he's coming out, he's standing before that throne. Verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. You know what's going to happen? God the Father is going to come down in that second heaven. He's going to say, Persia, give it up. Syria, give it up. Russia, give it up. China, give it up. Egypt, give it up. And they will all forfeit their crowns to God the Father. And God the Father will say to his Son, we made a bargain. And by faith you laid down your life and died to pay for the sins of the whole world. And I promised you that you would suffer the first time, but you would rule and reign the second time. And my Son, for a job well done, here are all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And you didn't have to get it from Satan. You got it from me, Son. You got it from me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God the Father comes down and judges the powers of darkness and the rulers and the spiritual wickedness in high places, and he destroys and breaks their hold upon this earth, and he gives that power to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation 11. Revelation chapter 11. And let's get the response. Remember, there's thousands, 10,000 times 10,000 round about that throne when this happens. And the news flash breaks. Revelation 11, verse number 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Look, he had the power to take them when he came the first time. But the scripture said he came to die. He had the power to take them and he rose from the dead. But the scripture said God would build his church. Now all that's done. And Jesus Christ, now that he has done always those things that please the Father, now the power that could have always been his is going to be bestowed upon him righteously by his Father without one word of Scripture being broken. And when that takes place, that host in heaven begins to shout the news and spread the news throughout all of God's creation. The kingdoms of this world, and he's not back yet, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he's not reigning. He's not set foot yet on that Mount of Olives. And he shall reign forever and ever. Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Now John's standing on the earth and he looks up. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Where'd he get those? And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is there, and the Father says, Son, I got some things for you to wear when you land down there. Here's all the crowns from Asia. Here's all the crowns from the Americas. Here's all the crowns from Africa. Here's all the crowns from Europe. And son, I had this made special for you. Let's just put this over your neck and around. There you go, son. That's beautiful. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're all yours, son. You deserve them. Go get them back. And down he comes, not to take dominion. He's already received it from his Father.
Amen.
God the Father is going to give God the Son the kingdoms of this world as a reward for his suffering on the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, that's more than a Bible study to me. Yeah. Our generation, we got more access to more news than anybody's ever had in the history of the world. And all it does is make you afraid. All it does is make you worried. All it does is make you angry. We win, people.
Amen.
We win. We win. Iran is going down. The communists are going down. The false religions are going down. Liberals, the conservatives, they're going down. Everybody is going to hit their knees. And Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's some bad stuff going on out there right now. There's some terrible stuff going to go on as soon as we're raptured out of here. When the dust has settled, there'll be one king on one throne forever. And he will not have taken that throne by making any bargains with the devil or by taking any shortcuts around different scriptures. He will have done everything just the way he wrote it in the Bible. And what a day, what a day that'll be. Hallelujah.